This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod, The Vatican Assassin Trilogy, and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. We've got Chapter 87, The Star Seeds of Earth, on the way. Alibi Jones believes he might be able to move asteroids out of the way of his mobile base, his now mobile base, the Hornet's Nest, using his mind. But he's discovered to attempt telekinesis, he needs to be in closer proximity to the stones themselves. So he's about to leave the Hornet's Nest, about to leave the base, and take a ship out to try to get closer to the asteroids and actually move some rocks with his mind. And when we last left Alibi, he was about to make a quick stop before heading to the ship. And we're going to pick things up with Alibi on that little stop, trying to get somebody to go with him, as we get into Chapter 87 of The Star Seeds of Earth, coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio. You know, there's only a couple of more weeks of Star Seeds of Earth on the way. As I was looking ahead for book news, I was like, wow. We've got two short chapters next week, 88 and 89. And then the very long Chapter 90, very short Chapter 91, and very short epilogue the week after that. So two more weeks of the Star Seeds of Earth to come. And then I'll be doing a Q&A episode. Or actually, that's when you'll hear it on this podcast. I got one really good question from Ken in Honolulu. He was asking about the wand. So there's one question has come my way. If you have a question about the Star Seeds of Earth or Alibi or Vatican, anything in my universe, just send me an email at glowinthedarkradio@gmail.com. Or if you're a patron, just respond to the post about the Q&A. And let me know what your questions are, because I'm putting it together. I only have one question so far, so as I get them, we'll see what happens. And that first Q&A episode will be the first episode for the Archmage's History of the Future on the main podcast. We had that for the patrons, but now you're going to get to hear that on the main podcast, the five episodes of the Archmage's History of the Future. And then, Vatican Assassin 15, the 15th anniversary edition, the special edition with cameos, will begin right here on the podcast. So that's about 8 weeks away, or eight episodes away. But patrons are going to be getting to hear chapters of Vatican Assassin 15 before anyone else. As a matter of fact, that's going to begin this week. If you want to become a patron, head to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio, or just head to my main site, glowinthedarkradio.com. But yeah, very quietly, patrons will begin to get episodes, chapter by chapter, of the 15th anniversary edition of Vatican Assassin. Chapter 1 features Veronica Jaguar doing the governor, Meredith McIntyre, she's reading her voice, which is just awesome. When I reached out to people, I wasn't sure they were going to be into this, and everybody was really amazing. That's the best part. And, you know, that's the world of podcasting, too. It's a really cool community. Especially the people that have been in it for a long time doing fiction podcasting. But yeah, I'm going to start doing the book, playing the book for patrons. And mostly that's what I'm working on. Like, the hours of my day are spent recording and editing right now, trying to get that Vatican Assassin 15th Anniversary Edition finished. Getting there. Editing is tricky because I'm incorporating other voices. I didn't expect the added time that was going to take, but it sounds so good when it's finished. I'm so happy. So I'm really excited for people to start hearing that. And patrons will get it first. All right, we have Chapter 87 of The Starseeds of Earth coming up. And, you know, this is actually Episode 587 of this podcast. So if I was a betting man, I'd bet on 87 today for some reason. But Chapter 87 is coming up next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Are you having trouble keeping up with the ebbs and flows of modern geekery? Is the real world holding you back from knowing what is happening in the geeky world? To answer these and other personal problems brought in by your friends, gaming group, and loved ones, Geek Radio Daily presents daily informational sessions brought to you by the wonderful Billy Flynn, the Flynnstress, and podcasting's Rich Siegfried. They contain such helpful segments as history, geek birthdays, box office results, the latest in DVD and Blu-ray, video game and comic releases. Why, they also have a weekly show hosted by the wonderful Billy Flynn and the Flynnstress, which includes interviews and commentary. And to make sure you are informed, Geek Radio Daily also provides you with your daily dose of geek news to make sure you know more than that jerk know-it-all Steve. Visit us at geekradiodaily.com. That's right, Geek Radio Daily. All the geek without the weight. Now available in fine Corinthian leather.
Now, here's Chapter 87 of The Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm not taking no for an answer. I've told you that 20 times already, Alibi said to the closed door to Kit and Kat's apartment. At least let me in. Hear me out. No, came the response, a 21st time. Then, a hopeful note.
All right, you may come in.
Alibi walked into the apartment after the door swished open. It was dark inside, the room only dimly lit. He squinted, glanced around, and spotted Kit and Kat, a hulking mass of fur hunched over and huddled in the corner. It will just be us on the ship, Alibi said. It's a good way to leave your apartment and do something without having to deal with a lot of other people. Won't even fly near our sentry ships. And you'll help me.
I feel so alien, Kit and Kat said. Out of control in some ways. Are you sure you want me out there with you?
Yep, Alibi said. He looked at his friends, looked them in the eyes, together now inside this newly enhanced and slightly monstrous body. Not many others I'd ask to watch my back. Can you hear me, my friends? There was no answer in his mind. Maybe moving in Kat removed the ability to speak mind to mind. Ah, too bad. Half an hour later, as Alibi headed out to try to gain the physical proximity seemingly necessary to perform a mental feat, Kit and Kat occupied the co-pilot seat of the A.D. Foster. Alibi managed to talk them into it, though not without difficulty. They still didn't look comfortable perched in the chair across from him. Neither being inside of it was quite used to the much larger body frame. I'm glad you're here, Alibi said.
Thank you, Kit and Kat said. Still not sure it is a good idea.
We're flying away from the Solar Alliance and Greater Ta over there, Alibi said. That's a good direction to go in. Let's hope that means they leave us alone.
Do you believe they will leave us alone? Kit and Kat said. We do not.
Emily's got eyes on them up in the control room, Alibi said.
She'll let us know if they pull anything. Alibi, Emily said, her voice coming over the comm on cue, as if called. I hear you, Emily, he answered. Go ahead. They've noticed you, she said. We've seen them move a Stinger and a couple cruisers out of their positions. Maybe a little threatening. They're moving away from the chaotic stew they've made in front of them towards a clearer path. We'll see if they dare start a run at you through the rocks. The mammoth ships of the Greater Ta were pulverizing asteroids, but not clearing the way. Instead, the area in front of the small combined fleet grew less passable, chaotic with debris from their blasting, turned into a cloud of shards growing denser with smaller and smaller pieces. I have to say again, Alibi, it still bothers me there's no rhyme or reason to their blasting, Emily said, after a pause. It's like they don't quite get the concept, you know? Maybe they're bad at math, Alibi said. Have a Tekta running their numbers. She laughed. If anyone is, she said, that doesn't look like math at work over there. Looks like bad copycats, Alibi said.
Some have called that sort of thing a shatterstorm, Kitten Cat said. To be avoided, for sure.
Shatterstorm, shitstorm, either way, we go the other way, Alibi said. Let me know if they begin to navigate into the asteroids, Emily. Will do, Emily said. Emily out. It is almost as if they saw us blasting rocks out of our path, so we could move the hornet's nest, and figured, well, how hard can that be? Isn't it? Alibi said to Kitten Cat. Bad imitators.
Is that what a copycat is?
Kitten Cat asked.
A bad imitator.
Alibi realized he needed to tread carefully. He shifted in his seat as he thought on his answer. Well, Alibi said, and paused.
Are you saying cats are known for copying badly?
Kitten Cat asked.
And so, then, by extension, we d'accord?
No, Alibi said. It's an old expression. I honestly don't know where it comes from.
We see, they said.
A proximity alarm temporarily rescued Alibi.
We're at the test rock, Alibi said. Good.
Alibi nudged the ship's controls to bring them even closer to the asteroid he'd picked out.
Have no idea if this will work or not, or how effective it will be.
Okay, Alibi said. Here's what I need you to do. I'm going to calm my mind and try to reach out and move this asteroid through telekinesis with my mind. While I do that, I need you to keep an eye on things and make sure we stay safe.
Sounds easy enough,
Kitten Cat said. If something really goes wrong or if they start to attack, just wake me up, Alibi said. Shake me or do what you have to. I don't know how out of it I'll be. I might be alert, I just don't know yet.
Much is unknown, they said.
Yep, Alibi said. That's why we're on a test run.
I don't even know if I'm going to have any help. You there, KB?
You are. I am. This time.
Alibi felt the mind water flow into him, felt his perception shift so he was seeing in the other manner, though he could not say what that mode of perception was. A different way of seeing. A different way of being. Alibi let himself grow larger so he could get his hands around the asteroid beside the ship, though they weren't his hands. And same-sized Alibi was still on the bridge. This was not his astral form, but an energetic extension of himself. Mind water flowed through this larger form unimpeded. And Alibi knew, just like that, in a moment. As he grew larger still, he knew what to do, awareness of all bubbling up like unconscious knowledge. He reached out for the rock, but not to just shove it. He reached out to appreciate it, acknowledge it, perceive it, take it in, encompass it, and then make it move. Alibi pushed with his mind and was rewarded with movement. He felt the massive stone move. He wasn't sure how far. He opened his eyes, reverted to the normal way of seeing, and took note. the asteroid had moved. About a meter.
Felt like it moved a lot more than that. Let's see.
Alibi mentally inhabited the rock once again. It was easier on the second try, he felt. This time, he pushed harder, and the stone was propelled. Mind water whooshed, and the rock sped away from them at a steady clip, moving about a quarter click away.
That worked!
You moved that with your mind?
Kitten Cat asked, looking up from the bridge display and over at Alibi.
Impressive!
Thanks, Alibi said.
Can you do it again?
They asked. That is a very good question, Alibi said. Let's find out. Alibi reached out with his mind to encompass another asteroid, which he did, and then moved it away as well. Guess I can, he said.
Good, Kitten Cat said. Two down. 1,000 more to go. We should be able to move the nest in a month or two at this rate.
Alibi frowned for a moment at the observation, until something struck him as funny, and he laughed.
You have found humor in this,
Kitten Cat asked. Not really, no, Alibi said. But you did. You just sounded like yourselves, a little like Kit, a little like Cat, some dry wit with an added touch of sarcasm. It made me happy.
Oh, they said. We see.
They paused for a moment.
We are not sure how this makes us feel.
Feel good, Alibi said. It's a good thing. They rode in silence for a moment. Maybe I can move more than one at a time, Alibi said. He tried. Alibi chose the two smallest rocks near their ship. He spread his awareness between them, trying to share his intention with both objects. He repeated the process he'd been following, and they moved. Eventually. It took great mental exertion and much more mind water. Maybe not, Alibi said after. That took more than double the effort. Alibi went back to moving the asteroids one at a time with his mind, intent on creating a space large enough that the Hornet's Nest could use it to activate its transpace drives. After 4 hours at it, Emily called to interrupt. Kitten Cat alerted him she was on the comm as he came out of his mental state. Alibi, how's it going? She asked as he connected. Slow but steady, he said. What's up? Are they doing something? Yeah, Emily said. They have a stinger ship coming our way. Some crack shots on board, blasting rocks from their path. But Alibi, they called and told us they were coming. What? They say it's a diplomatic delegation on board, she said. Safe Mediation Corps.
My old division.
Really? Yep, and get this, she said, and chuckled. Guess who's leading it? Brisby! Brisby had been a part of Alibi's crew, but left the Hornet's Nest to return to Solar Alliance duty when Alibi and the others struck out on their own. Brisby? Just talk to him, Emily said.
Our old crewmate? My old part of the service?
It almost seems like they're trying too hard. And maybe they are. They want to meet with you, she said. I'm busy. She didn't respond. I don't like it, Emily, Alibi said. Brisby? The Mediation Corps? They're trying too hard to put us at ease. It doesn't feel right to me either, she said. Don't let them in, Alibi said. Are you coming back? She asked. Not yet, he said. I want to keep at this. Okay, she said. How's Krish doing with the drives? Alibi asked. I don't like it, Alibi. If anything, he now seems less confident. That's not good, Alibi said. Nope, she said. Tell him I'm almost ready for him out here. You are not, she said. I know, he said, but I want to inspire him, not bum him out. I hear you, she said. You have my go-ahead to close the main bay door again. Alibi said. I don't want them bringing in a Stinger ship under false pretenses just to get it stuck in our taxiway. Sounds smart, she said. Let me know what they do as they approach, Alibi said. Will do, she said, and signed off. Alibi moved the ship over next to another large rock. He began the process of calming his mind and moved the rock. One more gone. Kit and Kat piloted the ship over to their next target, and Alibi again began to calm his mind. Alibi! Emily's voice punched through his calm. She wouldn't have done that unless she needed to. Go, Alibi said, getting his head together. I started to close the main door, and all hell began breaking loose with our friends, Emily said. Soon as the door started to move, the Stinger employed some new cloaking shield and disappeared off our screens and scans. We're trying to find them right now. But that's not the big thing.
The big thing? Alibi wondered, back at Emily.
Yeah, she said. They must have been watching you work, Alibi. All of a sudden, they began to just sweep rocks out of their way.
They have telepaths? Alibi asked. You think?
No, she said. This was their force fields, deployed in a new way. I think. We're still analyzing data. Looks like they figured out they didn't have to blow up the rocks in front of them, but could shove them out of the way instead, after watching you. The massive energy readings make us think it's technical, not mental power at work.
I see.
They're moving a lot of rocks at once, too, she said. Not one at a time, like you.
Ouch, Alibi said.
You're going too slow, she said. It's not working. And we need you back in here, Alibi. Look, I've been watching you moving asteroids with your mind. That is impressive, don't get me wrong. But it's not enough. Not one at a time. You could indulge in this before, but now that they're pushing away whole swaths of them, it's not helping.
Brutal honesty. I'd expect no less.
You're right, Alibi said. We're coming back in. There was no immediate response. Emily? Alibi called across the comm.
We have an airlock breach, she yelled back. Brisby and those bastards are breaking in.
On our way, Alibi said, but he saw the connection had already been lost.
That was Chapter 87 of The Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. Brisby's back, and he's breaking in? You're going to have to come back next week and find out what happens, because we're right on the verge of that. Two shorter chapters on the way next week, I don't want to lie. So we'll do a short Halloween-oriented reading as well. After the chapters, we'll have a Halloween bonus. Mwahaha. I haven't figured out what I'm going to read. It'll be something out of the public domain. Could be a poem. I think Jeopardy did that for a category, poem. Yeah, because it was things that began with M from Poe.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it could be Poe or Lovecraft. I'm not sure. I do like reading Nyarlathotep. Decisions. Haven't made it yet, but yeah, so a little bit of extra Halloween stuff next week as well. Bonus! So, chapters 88 and 89, and then there's only chapters 90 and 91. And 90's long, but 91 is very short. So that's the end of the book. And then there's the epilogue. So we only have two more episodes with the Starseeds of Earth. The week after that, we'll do the beginning of the Archmage's History of the Future, which is five episodes. And then we'll start the 15th anniversary edition of Vatican Assassin with the guest cameos. All coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio on the podcast. That first episode with the Archmage's History of the Future, too, is also going to have my Q&A on Starseeds of Earth and anything else you want to ask. So get those questions into glowinthedarkradio@gmail.com or shoot them at me on Facebook. Facebook.com/Mike Luoma, or Twitter.com/Mike Luoma.
Let me know your questions, and I will try to have answers for you for the Q&A episode. I've never done a Q&A before. I've answered questions here and there, but never like a full-on thing. And who knows, I might not. I've only gotten one question so far. We'll see what happens here. And I did want to mention, patrons are going to begin to be able to hear the brand new 15th anniversary edition of Vatican Assassin with the voice cameos starting this week. If you want to become a patron, go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. And of course, for everything, including that, you can always go to glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com. And that is all for this week. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio. Glow in the Dark Radio. This podcast presentation is copyright 2020 by Michael F. Luoma and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Accompetech.com and filmmusic.io. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.